I feel like the Colangelo thing is so much more interesting than the finals.
Forget about the finals.
Yeah.
Than anything.
Forget about the finals.
Yeah. I did a little polling today. Some very interesting things, you know.
I think to have a little burner account where you're just monitoring social media is completely normal.
But that's not even a burner account. That's just like an account that you don't use.
I hope you're recording this, Andrew. Welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's Wednesday.
Well, it'll probably come out Thursday morning.
Oh, it's Thursday morning.
Or it's Wednesday. Whatever.
I thought you were going to put this up tonight.
Okay, yeah, anyway, I'll put it up tonight.
You're listening, your mind.
You're listening to it. In Boston, where the finals are not.
Yes.
It's Jackie McMullen. And Jackie was going to... Well, I'm not going to reveal that.
You can. I don't care.
Jackie was threatening to host a wonderful dinner at her shore house during the finals if the Celtics were in it.
How is that a threat? Isn't that like a courtesy? Like she's being gracious?
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate your sense of sarcasm. It's as sharp as it ever has ever been.
So can you tell Brian's a little bitter that we're not having the shoreside dinner?
Well, she sent me photos then on the next day. She sent me incredible photos of her home, and I was looking forward to that. Yeah. So
well, we're going to do it anyway. The Hoop Collective, we are going to do this. We are going to do it.
Rain
I don't
checked.
Know when. Yeah, we're doing it.
Rain I'll checked. Be in Boston this summer.
All right, Tim, you just let me know. It's happening. It's going to happen.
I got to bring my daughters, though.
That's all right. I love children. Unlike Brian Windhorst. Oh, no, we're not going to do that today.
This is long as they're not on the podium.
Right.
Running the show from San Francisco is Andrew Hahn, who had a tweet favorited by a Colangelo alleged burner account. Do you have any comment on that, Mr. Hahn? Do you have any comment on your involvement in this potential scandal?
I can neither confirm nor deny that I have a tweet that may or may not have been favorited by an account that may or may not have been run by
can confirm that you got a tweet favorite.
I can't even do that. Can't do that.
Was it a tweet or was it like a bad joke?
It's like a sincere statement that I made that fits into this whole narrative that I still hold to be true. The gist of the tweet was that very often there are writers and people in the basketball community that like to get their jokes off on social media at the expense of a team or a player or an owner or an executive. And usually the point I was making is usually the jokes aren't good enough to merit upsetting someone. And very rarely the jokes are good enough. And then that was the tweet that got favorited.
Do you
so
remember
something
what
like
you
were... a sensitive executive might really like that kind of a tweet.
I haven't even introduced McMahon in Dallas, Texas. It's Ben McMahon. Do you remember what you were thinking about when you wrote that?
I think the tweet was around February, so it was around the trade deadline and All-Star and things like that. So this the swirl of trade rumors and things like that. I'm sure it was something Clippers related.
But it was February of last year.
You know, Doc Rivers and Austin have been very easy targets for several years now. I'm sure it was just something related to that.
It wasn't like around an Embiid injury or something. Maybe. Of course, this account was never sympathetic to Mr. Embiid.
Well, I mean, this topic has already invaded the introductions. Brian, can you just like set everything up for listeners?
I mean, they know what we're talking about. Don't if they're listening to this, they know what we're talking about. Alleged tweets by Brian Colangelo.
I tell you what, I mean, there's way too many coincidences here for it not to be either him or somebody really, really, really close to him. And the fact that three accounts, when the Ringer alerts them, hey, you know, we're looking into these two accounts, and then the other three go private. And they're like, huh, way to go there, Slick. Didn't tell you we're looking into those. There's just a lot of coincidences here. That's all I'm saying.
Very true. And it's just that the question I have that just through all this was, and can I just say that in 38 years of covering basketball, I've never, ever, ever seen anything like this. And that in itself is amazing because it's because don't you, we all agree that probably every GM has some kind of burner Twitter account, as you say,
or they at least have people in the front office assigned to monitor social media
right. Exactly. So it's kind of, it is a little amazing that this hasn't happened sooner, but what I just can't figure out, and it's important to me anyway, is to understand who was the guy that tipped or woman that tipped off the Ringer to this? Who was
it? Well, you know the conspiracy theory there.
I do, but do you believe that?
I would say, to quote Kevin Garnett, anything is possible.
No, but really, I'm being serious now. Who do we honestly think tipped off the Ringer? In my mind, it had to be a disgruntled Sixers employee, right? It had to be. It had to be someone.
Or former Sixers employee.
Okay, sure. I'll go along with that, too.
And that's that. The great conspiracy, let's just throw it out. The great conspiracy is it's Sam Hinkie.
I don't buy that.
But boy, it would make for a great story. But no, I definitely think it's somebody who absolutely has some sort of current or recent ties to the Sixers organization. I don't think there's any question about that. My guess would be more recent than current. You know, somebody who maybe Colangelo got rid of and, you know, kind of treated like crap on the way out or something like that. Yeah.
But here's the other possibility, or just there are obsessive Sixers fans, just like there are obsessive Lakers fans and Mavericks fans and Cleveland Cavaliers fans who are tech savvy, who spend a lot of time online. I suppose it's possible. Yeah. I really do. I suppose it's possible. But that to me is almost as fascinating now because we've all, you know, had a day and a half of this and of all the amazing. I mean, just the idea that personal records, personal physical records of players are out there now in public. Even if, you know, let's just say that Brian Colangelo is not responsible for these accounts. Let's just say that. Someone close to him was. Mm-hmm. Someone that he confided in him was. And I would have to guess that either way, whether it was him or not, he's so compromised now. How can he continue as the GM, right? Yeah, because, you know, by the way, the draft is like what, 20-something days away?
Mm-hmm.
It's a month away, you know?
Trust the process, but how do you trust the GM with 5 burner accounts?
Yeah,
well, the internet sleuths have identified the account that leaked it to the Ringer. And the Ringer, Ben Desrich, I think.
Ben Dietrich.
I'm sorry, I wasn't aware of him before this. Compliments to him. He has acknowledged it.
But who is it?
It's an anonymous egg account.
Right. But, you know, it's the reason it's relevant is that sometime in, I believe it was in January, that egg account reached out to him. And so this was going on since January. And
credit to them for doing their homework. I mean, it was clear they'd worked on this one for a while.
Well, and I think it's interesting, and you know, this is dangerous because it's so developing. I mean, by the time this posts, there may be another couple of developments.
I will tell you this: I called 4 GMs in a hurry before I went on the air today to get a sense from them what they thought of this and how they felt about it, and you know, a lot of stories about Brian Colangelo's obsessive personality. I must have heard that word 10 times in my conversations with people today, almost borderline OCD, obsessive in the way he goes about things. Thin skinned. You heard that a lot. Thin skinned. Mm. Very, very image conscious. All those words. Mm-hmm. So there's, I think among his brethren, people, two of them said to me, I don't think he did it. I said, oh, are you sure? And they said, no, but it's too reckless. Like, he's not reckless. That was not a word anyone's ever used with Brian Colangelo. Now, the other two guys I talked to were like, come on now. Of course it's him. So it's just interesting.
I don't think it was reckless. I think it was naive.
Yeah, but that is reckless. That is reckless. And, but see, to me, it's the same thing, Brian, in today's world. Like, I'm, look, you know, everybody knows my position on social media. I think it's the death of all of us. I have made a conscious decision not to do it, in part because I am naive about how it works. And I could make a mistake like that. Well, no, I would never make a mistake. I never put this. Is, I don't even want to. But you know what I mean? You can make
well, that, a that's my problem is all the mistakes I make on there, my real name's attached to them.
Sure. But like, you know, you double click this, you like this, you don't know all that stuff. You know, people, these guys that send direct messages, they think they're sending it privately and it ends up everywhere. I mean, but this is still reckless. If you're a general manager, and again, we got to assume he's innocent till we know otherwise. If in fact it was Brian, if it was in fact Brian Colangelo that did this, it's reckless. I'm sorry. There's no, because what do you have? Why, what do you have to gain from this? You have the job. Your father was appointed by the league to be the consultant for the team. You got the job. So other than your ego,
yeah, you want
what
credit.
Are you worried
and,
about?
But here's the crazy thing. Like, why do you need to make burner accounts and try to plant story ideas that way? Why don't you do the old-fashioned leaking?
Well, I think he was doing both. I think he was doing both, yeah. Tim. I think he was doing it, and it wasn't working so well for him. I mean, you know, if think about Brian Colangelo, if you go back, okay? So he's in Phoenix, you know, leaves there, never gets credit for what happens there. He's in Toronto. He drafts Kyle Lowry, but, you know, Masai is, you know, very well regarded there. Then he comes here, and Sam Hinkie, ever since he got fired, just his status grows daily. He's become a cult hero, right? He's bigger now.
In large part because Embiid has completely embraced the process, and you know, Embiid is a cult hero and kind of pumps up Hinkie as he goes.
Yeah, because they still have a very good relationship. I mean, you know, I did a story on Embiid when he, you know, when he lost his brother. His brother was over in Cameroon and was killed in a terrible car accident, and Embiid was alone in his, he was living in the Ritz at the time in his apartment. He's sitting there alone and he's far away from home and he's not playing because he's injured and he's homesick anyway. And
they drinking get this phone Shirley call. Temples.
Right. And they get this phone call. Right. And they get this phone call. And within minutes, Brett Brown and Sam Hinkie are there with him. And like, I remember Brett Brown telling me, I didn't even know him that well yet. And they're trying to help this kid. His life has just fallen apart. And they're trying to help him put the pieces back together. So forget all the basketball stuff. They had a very personal connection with him. And you know, just because Sam Hinkie's gone doesn't change the fact that Sam and Brett Brown were there for this kid at the lowest moment of his life. There's just no doubt about that.
I think there's some vanity here, too, because it's one thing to leak something to a news outlet to get a favorable story or something. Mm-hmm. It's another thing when you're just attacking individual people that nobody is really seeing mass-wise on social media. There's a vanity thing. So he's taken an interesting tact. He is going on the record with some journalists, basically denying it's him and basically claiming that it's a long con or some sort of a character assassination. He's doubled down very hard on this. And I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting move. It limits his options. I think it does help him in the short run because he's been so vehemently adamant that he was involved in this, that I do think that will have some people put the brakes on. I think it certainly worked with Embiid. I think it was clear last night that Embiid was not cool with it, and then he talked to him, and then by the end of the night, he was putting the brakes on it. So he's bought himself some time here, but he's also pretty much limited his options. And you know, if this was a con, it was a long con, all the way back to a Andrew Hahn tweet in 2017. It's an interesting tactic.
And some very obscure follows too. I mean, come on.
Like, yeah.
Teammates of his son, you know, his son's coach in Canada, some random businessman who he was in business with in Phoenix. And
you guys have all
nobody in the NBA would ever have heard of.
The theory that cropped up today on social media, right, that the main offending account, the quote-unquote Eric Jr. account, was actually Jerry Colangelo's account and not Brian's.
There's been, in talking to people in the league, Some people think that it's his son. Some people think that it's his wife. Some people think that it's his father. Basically, they're looking for ways that it couldn't be Brian. And you know, to thread that needle, it has to be somebody who knows all these people who he's following, mm-hmm. and also would have some semblance of inside information. Because, again, one of the things that's a challenge, if you're calling character witnesses here, is those opinions that this is offering match opinions that he has given to mm-hmm. people over the last couple of years, and people heard him give those. Mm-hmm. And
we as journalists, don't we know a lot of this? Like, a lot of the stuff you're hearing in these accounts, in these messages, we sort of know it, right? We know that Nerlens Noel was a problem in Philly, just like he was a problem everywhere else he's been, right? That's not shocking news, right? We know that sometimes Joel Embiid gets his ego bruised. I mean, you know what I mean? A lot of these are, anyway, kind of interesting.
Yeah, so now, Jackie, what do you do if you're the Sixers? If this, the timing on this is so interesting because...
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You've got to do something fast. Very fast.
I think it's the most important summer in Sixers history. What do you do? This has been in November. It's a storm, but
you know what you do? You send Sam Hinkie a DM on Twitter. He says, "You up?"
Yeah, oh, that's funny. I you know, if you're investigating this, and I don't know what that means, and the draft is in, you know, forget the draft. Let's talk about free agency for a minute.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. If you're a free agent, and this GM may or may not, because we don't know for sure, may or may not have made disparaging remarks in a burner account about your personality, about your medical records, which are supposed to be private, building himself up and tearing other people down, and you're a free agent. Are you gonna be like, man, dude, what is your deal? I don't think so. And you know what? I'm not prepared to say, hey, this was Brian Colangelo, because I don't know. I'm 100% sure I didn't do the reporting on this. Okay, so if it is or it is, it isn't. It almost doesn't matter now.
Perception is reality, and then perception of him is going to be a massive problem. And
massive.
I mean, if they can't definitively prove it's him, I don't know if it matters unless they can definitively prove it wasn't him. And if it's somebody close to him, then it's still a massive problem.
Well, it's a breach. It's a breach either way.
And it's a huge offseason. Obviously, for every team, every year, it's a huge offseason. But especially Philly, you know, with the situation they have in terms of all the cap space, trying to make a major splash in free agency, not just the draft, but the trade market that operates around the draft. I mean, you know, they are a move away from maybe being the favorite in the East, and they have all kinds of opportunities. And now they've got this mess on their hands, and a GM that I don't know, given the circumstances, is capable of being in charge going into this huge summer.
That's all true, and I believe that too. But how many times have we learned that money talks? If I'm a free agent and the Sixers throw a pile of money at me, am I really going to worry about the GM, who I'm barely going to deal with anyway once I get my contract? I'm going to worry about my coach. I'm going to worry about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and all these players and Saric that I want to play with. So that's the other way to look at it. Money.
That's
counts.
True. That's true. LeBron doesn't really care who the GM
he
is as long
care.
As long as
yeah.
As long as
he
the GM.
The GM.
As long as the GM can execute. But let me ask you that, Andrew, what do you think the due process here is?
Good.
I don't even like.
Yeah, I feel it's to the point where I feel like the league would have to step in on top of this, considering.
But we don't have they don't have time.
And
that's
the
how we got there
blood
in the first
on their
place
hands
too.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. The league's got a little blood on their hands with this. You know, here's an interesting thing, Brian. You tell me. Let's just say that Brian Colangelo, because of everything we just said, maybe never, you know, never says, "I wasn't me, wasn't me," but they end up removing him. What are the chances that David Griffin walks in there?
So that's why I say, what's his due process? Because he may not get it, and it may be a situation where they're just like, "Look, you're compromised, and we're sorry, but you can't keep the job." And you know,
like that great TV show, Burn Notice. Did you ever used to watch Burn Notice?
I used to watch Burn Notice.
They used to film it all the time in my building, in Miami. My building was like 85% empty, and so Burn Notice would take over whole floors.
Great show.
So I mean, what happened in that show? I don't get the reference. I'm sorry.
Oh, he was an FBI guy who was he was an undercover FBI guy whose cover was blown. So he had to they burned him. That's what they call it. Like they burned Jeff Donovan's the actor, really great dude, by the way.
Yeah, so
from
yeah,
Massachusetts. Anyway, off
Jackie knows it. Jackie knows everybody. Yeah, so it's kind of like they may say to him, "Look, we're gonna have to pay you the money because we can't." You know, we're just going to have to that may be what it is. We're going to have to let you go because, you know, you've got this scarlet letter, whether it's true or not. We can't operate going forward. That may be end up what's happening, and it may be completely unfair to him. But that's why I asked you, Andrew, about due process. Like, what can he provide to exonerate himself?
I feel like the closest contemporary analog to this is like in the political realm. If a politician or some kind of government official gets caught up in a scandal, if it's big enough, the immediate response is to deny, to say, to wait for all the facts. And then if the pressure does not alleviate immediately, then leadership above them comes in and says, you need to gracefully resign and take the scandal with you. And that's probably what's going to end up happening here, right? Right? Either Sixers ownership or the league itself will just come in and say, like, Brian, you have to resign. Like, it doesn't matter whether you're found innocent of all of this or not. Another example is, and Brian, you're familiar with this, Chris Anderson's weird social media catfish thing.
I didn't even know what catfishing was back then.
There was no due process there either, and Chris Anderson had to sit on the sidelines for a long time for that to, for all the facts to bear out, and that might just be what has to happen with Colangelo.
It's a great comparison. He was not even arrested. He was they raided his house, and the raiding of his house got him I can't remember if they sent him home or they just flat out released him, but they never even arrested him. And he was so he was accused of having relations with an underage girl, and they raided his house, and that was it. He was out of the NBA for like a year and a half, or at the end of one season into the next. It was a year, and just to show you the amount of harm that was in that case, the Colorado, I can't remember if it was Colorado, or I can't remember who the agency was. They called him and asked him to come in to basically apologize and say that they had no case. And his lawyer said, are you bringing him in to arrest him? They said no. And then he like, well, maybe we'll get back to you, maybe we won't. He didn't even call them back. He had exonerating information, and he didn't even call them back. It was months later. And and it was a extreme catfish situation. And when his lawyer told it to me and he explained it to me, I didn't understand it, and I said, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to go over that again. I'd never seen anything like it. And that was a weird one. This, Jackie, I'm glad you said you'd never seen anything like this in 38 years, because in my 15, I can't ever compare this to anything.
The most similar is the KD burner accounts, where he's bad-mouthing Russ and Billy Donovan, but that's a player, not a 50-something-year-old executive.
Right.
I mean, this is an executive. It never mind just bad mouthing people. He's violated HIPAA laws.
Right.
I mean, we hear this stuff all the time, right? All of us do our reporting, and we talk to people, and off the record, they tell us stuff like this. They complain about their players. This guy's a bum. This guy doesn't work hard. This guy's egos. You know, all these things. They do it off the record. But this is like, it reminds me of, it's like there's a paper trail, right? And it reminds me of, everybody used to do the, wink, wink, sign and trade max deal thing. Remember Joe Smith but the Minnesota Timberwolves were dumb enough to actually put it on paper, right?
Right.
It's just like that to me.
That was another great all-time scandal, because that came to light because the two agents, got into a lawsuit with each other.
That's right.
And the one guy subpoenaed the other guy's documents, and it got attached in the lawsuit. And this illegal contract basically formalized, wink, wink, 3 first-round picks, a bunch of money, and...
Yeah. I mean, Glenn Taylor, what was he thinking? You know, what was he thinking?
And he didn't fire Kevin McHale, though.
Well that's because he's the one that did it.
That's
true. I've talked a lot. You know, I mean, we can't get into this now. We don't have time. But anyway.
But it's an all-time great NBA little, like the other one that I can remember is, you know, Carlos Boozer with the Cavs. You know, both parties were kind of trying to screw the other party over, and Boozer just ended up being able to walk away from it. The Cavs were trying to get Boozer at a discount, way below his market value, and Boozer was trying to get money a year early because he was trying to talk the Cavs into letting him out of his contract. And so, but both parties were somewhat guilty. But in this case, there's the motive is so bizarre. I mean, he obviously has a motive, and that is to like try to
pump himself up.
Yeah, but the audience
and tear down
is so small.
People who's petty with?
But the audience is so small; it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but that's why that comes back to the obsessive personality, if in fact this is what has happened.
Well, but a lot of the interactions were with reporters as well. So the audience might be small, but they were targeted. Like, that's part of what led people to conclude that it was in fact Colangelo, or allegedly Colangelo, right?
I think the follows were the most compelling circumstantial evidence. It wasn't just who he was tweeting at.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
So, Andrew, are you looking forward to Summer League in Vegas?
I'll be completely honest. I'm most looking forward to this Sixers resolution. Then I'm looking forward to, then I am looking forward to Summer League. I guess so.
Like, you and I have talked about this, about possibly playing golf during Summer League. Now we're going to have to get up at 4 a.m. to do so.
I'm not looking forward to it anymore.
Because you have to tee off at like 6, because otherwise it'll be 111
right
by the time you get to 5th hole. But I feel like we can go to the poker room all night and then take our winnings and just go right to the course and tee off the crack of dawn, and we'll be done by like 8 a.m. and then we'll go to bed. And then we'll get up in time to go to the games in the afternoon evening.
All Hoop Collective like listeners, come join Brian Windhorst and Andrew Hahn just stupidly playing, gambling all night and golfing at the crack of dawn, apparently, in Las Vegas.
Yes, and what I'm most excited about is these Peter Millar polo shirts that we're going to be golfing in, because they are sweet. And these are the ones that, like, the PGA players play in. Like, they sponsor PGA players, so you can feel like that you're playing like a pro, because they're kind of sweet. And, you know, you can pack them in your bag, and you know, you don't have to iron them. You can just pull them right out. And we better bring several, Andrew, because we may need to change several times during the round, because we will be sweating.
I mean, I got mine. I don't know if you've gotten yours yet, but like, just to be clear, they don't look like golf shirts. They just look like regular polo shirts that PGA pros also wear.
Right, very high quality. I'm actually kind of excited that they're a sponsor. Because you know, they have stuff that I would wear.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
And I'm sorry to just interrupt on this very valuable ad read time of yours. They were very, very clear that we should be explicit with their pronunciation. Can you give me that pronunciation again?
Yes, that's Peter Millar, not Miller, Millar. And if you know anything about fashion, you know it's Millar. M-I-L-L-A-R, not E-R, A-R. Millar.
Millar.
What's the problem?
I don't know. It seems like it's evident to me, but I just want to make sure that all the listeners
are
aware.
I don't care how you pronounce it. It wears beautifully. So you can head over to petermillar.com/hoop to check out some of their favorites, and you can use the link that we're about to give you, and you can get complimentary shipping and a free hat and we're going to need hats, Andrew, in the Vegas sun in July. So let's get some of those free hats. We may need several of them. That's petermillar.com/hoop.
There we go. Is there more?
All right.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. Oh, okay.
So what do we think happens now?
Who is investigating? Well, like, when I hear the Sixers are investigating, what does that mean? Who in quotes, are the Sixers?
I assume they're going to put some kind of independent investigators on it, private investigators. But I did think it was telling that their statement was very terse. There was no, support in that statement.
that's true.
Serious allegations. That was not a sympathetic statement in the least.
Well, yeah, because imagine if you're the owner of this team after everything that's happened, and now this.
Right.
Well, they weren't speaking to him. They were speaking to their players.
And remember, too, Joel Embiid's best friend is Markel Fultz. So you could say, "Oh no, I didn't say anything about you," but this Markel Fultz
thing
is blown up. Well, right. Of course he did. But, it's whoever this person is, the Markel Fultz stuff was pretty revealing also.
Which again, was stuff that people were saying.
None of this. Yeah, that's right. None of it's – it's not surprising any of the actual sentiments. It's just amazing that the format in which it's been revealed. It's just incredible. Incredible. I was stunned.
One thing I couldn't tell.
I just don't see how he survives.
So Maury, Danny Ainge, Mark Cuban, they all did a little bit of needling, in the immediate aftermath. Like, do you think that's good natured or they're kind of just, those are actual needles?
No, they're needles. I would have advised them against that. I don't think there's anything. If I would advise everybody in the league not to tweet at all. For 2 days minimum, until you see some things go down.
And honestly, Cuban probably should leave his rocks, on the floor of his glass house right now.
All of them should. All of them should. Every single one of them.
So to me, the thing that I'm obsessed with is finding out more about the source. Whether if this was just a Sixers fan who liked Hinkie, didn't like Colangelo, likes Embiid, doesn't like Fultz, has a lot of time on his hands, is tech savvy, and just mined the data and found it. I think that's one thing. And I think it was right. you got
and that's
caught.
Possible.
And,
yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, that may be the most likely scenario. If this is a former Sixers employee, if this is a rival from another team, if this is somebody who has a personal history with Brian Colangelo, then it goes to a whole new level. And what I would be doing if I was in an NBA front office today, I would have had a meeting at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I would have had all of my employees and look them in the eye and say, "You got to whatever you got out there, you got to clear it."
Yeah, scrub now. Anything incriminating from social media.
And yeah, but you whatever find it. But it could all be found, right?
I guess, but you got to take whatever measures you can take.
Yeah, I agree.
I would assume that those conversations were happening. Here's the other thing. All of the executives, or at least most of the executives, were all in Los Angeles this week because there's a series of draft events. All the agencies are holding their thing. Like, they're all there together. Brian was there yesterday. Also, I thought it was interesting the fact that they would announce the Brett. Well, they didn't announce it. Did they put out the press release?
They did.
But they would.
Knowing that the story was about to drop? Were they trying to?
I don't see how they could not have.
Right.
So
not
that
very
was
effective. Not very effective.
No.
I don't know, Brown extension talk right now.
In fact, you know what had happened? Like, one of my colleagues who doesn't really follow the league closely enough said to me was, oh, wow, so, yeah, now we have to take another look at Brett Brown, don't we? Because, you know, his boy just took care of him. And I'm like, whoa.
No.
Yeah. Brett Brown was there first.
Right.
He's not hired by Brian. But see, that's, you know.
I wonder if Brett Brown knew.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, like, with the extension. So who knows when they agreed to it? You know, I don't know if they agreed to it yesterday or they agreed to it 4 days ago. They were clearly going to say, oh, we're going to announce it at a certain time. Maybe they did. Maybe they agreed to it yesterday and signed it yesterday, and that's when they announced it. But here's what I wonder. I wonder if they're like, hey, Brett, we're gonna put this out now. Oh, okay, great. And it was used as a wag the dog move.
Right. Like, he's like, hey, thanks for giving me my glory.
Yeah, no kidding.
I will say, as far as the original source, here's why I doubt that it's a fan, okay? Because if a fan does that, don't you think that fan's going to want credit for being the guy who took Colangelo down?
Well, you might hear from him or her in the next 48 hours.
It's a good point. It's a good point, McMahon.
There's so much sensitive information that those accounts put out. Like, I'd be nervous if any fan, as dedicated as they might be, would be able to put all those pieces together.
There are people in the league who have speculations about who it may be. It's not Sam Hinkie.
There's a lot of recent Sixers employees that might not have been treated so well on the way out.
But McMahon, you're so right. Like, even if the fan, the Twitter account's been outed. So even if that Twitter account like stepped forward and said, "Yep, it was me. I took him down. Ha ha ha!" Like, he put up a single tweet, it would get 100,000 retweets. Like, I mean. Even if it was like a hacker, that guy would be famous just through his Twitter handle. The fact that that person created that Twitter account and then has completely gone dark is interesting. And just from a journalistic standpoint, the evidence is pretty overwhelming. And to the Ringer's credit, even the headline of the story says "The Curious Case." They don't directly accuse him of it, and maybe this isn't a story that the New York Times could have published, right? But maybe that's another reason why this person didn't go to the New York Times. They went, and Chris Ryan, who was the editor of this piece for the Ringer, he is a Sixers fan, and they went to this writer who is not only known as a guy who writes about the Sixers, but also as a guy who's critical of Brian Colangelo, which is not, you know, that's fine. It's okay to be critical of him. It was such a surgical strike.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Brian. Now the tipster reached out directly to Ben Dietrich, so they didn't pick the writer. The Ringer didn't pick Ben Dietrich. The tipster picked him.
Right.
Fair point.
I'm going to nominate that we call this unnamed source right now Deep Process.
Oh, I like it.
Let's go with that.
Very good.
I like it.
I'm fascinated by what the source is going to be, because unless Brian Colangelo can produce some sort of, what's the opposite of a smoking gun? unless he can produce like incredible documentation, which I don't even know how it could exist, he's probably going to go down for this. And to me, it's all about the source and what that might be. And I've seen some incredible things happen in the NBA where guys have gotten back at other guys, but this would take the cake if this was truly somebody who was connected to him and came back on him.
Brian, let me ask you this. By the time the 2018 NBA champion is crowned, does Brian Colangelo still have his position with the Sixers?
He may still have his position, but I don't know if he'll be acting in it. Yeah, and as far as like LeBron, you mentioned David Griffin. I mean, I think the world of David Griffin. I think we all do. LeBron wouldn't come to a situation just because of a general manager.
Oh, of course not. But I'm just thinking David Griffin's just a good GM who handles players' personalities very well. I mean, let's forget LeBron for a second. I didn't say that because of LeBron. I just think it's because he's a guy that's available and has been a good troubleshooter who's handled difficult personalities in the past.
Yeah, and the other thing they could do is they could just
they could appoint somebody else in the who's their assistant GM? Why am I brain going blank?
We should know this, all of us.
Ned Cohen.
Oh, Ned Cohen. I've never talked to Ned Cohen in my life. Sorry. He's the VP for VP of basketball operations. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, so they have two guys, Mark Eversley, who was in, he was in Washington for a long time, and Ned Cohen. Like, you could sort of put them as acting through the draft, and figure this out. But, you know, this September 10 pick they're going to make, the general manager's got to be able to make that pick.
Or trade it.
Or trade it.
So Ned Cohen, man. Is he the guy that was in the NBA office? Is that the same guy?
He was. Yeah, he was a VP of the NBA. The NBA.
NBA. Okay, I do know who Ned Cohen is. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like we may need to have another podcast soon to talk about the fallout from this.
Or maybe even the finals.
I know, but as Jackie said, this comes in this two-day window where, you know, already people aren't that excited about the fourth straight matchup, and now this happens. So, my jaw was on the floor last night. On the floor. My wife and I were... You know, it was like the only night I had at home for like weeks on end, and my wife and I were going to watch some TV, and we both got so involved in this story, and we're reading it, like we just put that on pause, and we're reading it, and she was looking and finding stuff, and I was looking and finding stuff. I mean, it was just incredible. And then, you know, my phone started lighting up with people in the league. All kinds of stuff. I mean, it was, people are so fascinated by this. And I think also think spooked by it. I mean, my phone has been going all day long.
Yeah. You know what I don't like though? A little too much glee. I don't love all the glee. Like if in fact Brian Colangelo did this to himself, I mean, who's taking great joy in this? It's sad.
I will admit to chuckling pretty, enthusiastically. I thought it was pretty funny.
he's not
and I don't know him. I just thought it was funny that a guy in that position could do that.
He's not disliked, but I don't think he's like well liked by other people in the league. There's a stigma. You know, look, he was executive of the year
twice.
Yeah. And so he stood on his own two feet, but there is a stigma about people whose fathers helped them in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the, you know, that exists all over. One of the old sayings is that what's the biggest day in the NBA?
Father's Day.
Father's Day.
Ronnie Garretson. You believe the things that people, the horrible fans of Boston have said to Ronnie Garretson through the years.
Right.
Hey, Garretson, you suck and your father sucked too.
Here's something about me, Andrew. I am a carry-on only kind of traveler.
Ooh,
I
don't like to check luggage.
I refuse to check luggage. And one of the things that can be difficult about that is packing suits. And I don't know if you know this, but sometimes you need to wear a suit to a basketball game, especially when you have a television appearance. And that's why a neat company like Indochino can be pretty helpful, I believe, in somebody in my predicament.
Tell me about Indochino. What's so useful about that?
It's the world's largest made-to-measure menswear company and has been featured in major publications such as GQ, Forbes, Fast Company. One of the things that they do, they make suits and shirts made to your exact measurements for a great fit, which that can be a struggle sometimes. If you're of odd proportions, maybe you're too tall, you got long legs, you got long arms, whatever it might be. Maybe you're LeBron James, you're 6'8" and built like an absolute statue. Maybe you need some special measurements. Guys love the wide selection of high quality fabrics and the option to personalize all the details, including your lapel lining and monogram. So here's how it works though. You visit the showroom or you could shop online at Indochino.com. You pick your fabric out, you choose your customizations, you submit your measurements, And then all you got to do is you just wait for your custom suit to arrive in a few weeks. It's easy as that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty big deal because, like, more so than, like, brand names or whatever that it may be, like, I'm a big proponent that clothes will look good on you if it fits properly. And if they're taking your measurements, then obviously it's going to fit properly.
You can buy the most expensive suit in the world, and I say this from experience. Well, not that I bought the most expensive suit in the world, but you can buy a very expensive suit, and if it doesn't fit you right or you don't get it, like, tailored to fit you, it's going to look bad. And so, like, I completely agree with that. I can get my jeans tailored, for crying out loud, because I want them to fit me right.
Okay, I need to get
I shouldn't have said that out loud.
I need that jean tailoring money is what I need.
Yeah, that like $12 to get your jeans tailored. This week, listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com when entering HOOP at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, important here, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code HOOP, for any premium suit for just $379 and free shipping. An incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
50% off, that's not fooling around.
Yeah, 50. I just now like realized that. 50% off, that's a lot.
I went back and double checked to make sure that you didn't misread that, and it's like, oh, that's substantive.
that didn't even register in my head as I was reading it. $379 for a suit is actually really not expensive at all either.
No, not at all. I mean, again, like, made to measure is like, that's not fooling around.
So, are we going to do Cajones Factor of the playoffs here?
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one choice.
Is there only one choice? Wait, hold on. Brian, can you set this up for us?
So, we are now going to do, now that we have said what we could possibly say about Mr. Colangelo, we now have got to move on to very pressing matters. And that is the Cajones Factor Player of the Playoffs.
Show me you got some big cojones.
I mean, who else could we even talk about?
Donovan Mitchell had a pretty good run.
Yeah, he did.
Terry Rozier before Game 7.
Yeah, Game 7s are kind of important.
How about, now look, so I know it's LeBron, but how about Jason Tatum cojones factor, 20 years old, dunking on the cojones winner's head? Just saying.
And those young kids in Boston all showed something. You know, Rozier I'm confident he will bounce back from that Game 7. But what LeBron did throughout the playoffs, I mean, the dude hit how many game winners? What were his numbers in Game 7?
Two at the buzzer. The first Game 7, he scored 45. The second Game 7, he had 35. 10 and or 11 and 9, 35, 11 and 9 in 48 minutes.
35, 15 and 9?
Oh, 15, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, just, and this dude has had the best playoffs of his career and, you know, maybe the best individual playoffs I've ever seen. These in his 15th season, it's LeBron and then, you know, there's honorable mentions, but LeBron is the clear-cut Cajones Factor champion.
You know what's interesting and just sort of a statement and why I think this award show is such a bad idea? He's not even
because they don't have the Cajones factor.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe they should invent it so that they could get him a reason to get there because he's not going to go. Like, what does it say that this guy who is
the players aren't obligated to go if they're he was an MVP finalist. He had to be, right?
But he knows he's not going to win.
So he's just – players aren't obligated to go?
Why would he be obligated to go? You're not obligated to go to the Oscars if you're nominated.
I don't even know the difference between the Oscars and the Academy Awards.
There is none.
Well, see.
But I'm just saying, like, it's, I just think that this is such a, this is such a money grab to do this players, or to do this awards show. And it's going to look so bad. Like, I voted for Harden.
Also, it's bad to have it after the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just, these things are supposed to be announced during the playoffs. There's supposed to be a ceremony in front of the home fans and all that kind of stuff.
Do you have, so your other finalists for the Cojones Factor were Donovan Mitchell?
I think Chris Paul certainly deserves a place on the, and again, there's only one finalist. There's finalists and honorable mentions. So I'd say Donovan Mitchell, oh. Chris Paul, Tatum and Rozier, all the Rozier's game seven certainly was,
that was hurtful.
Was painful to watch. You know, those would be the guys who I would include,
Kevin Love.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
All right, so I'm going to stop you there. This whole Kevin Love thing, like Barkley and those guys on TV saying, you got to suit up and play, it is out of his hands. He cannot play stupid. When he's in. It's so stupid. And the
didn't they say the same about CP3?
And Iguodala and CP3, and it's all hogwash. Hogwash.
Right.
I mean, you don't think that these guys want to play? I'll tell you, it really irks me.
Well, in Kevin's situation in the protocol, it wasn't even up. Like, he literally didn't have a choice.
Yeah. And like, CP3 gets, I mean, is a huge reason they've got the Warriors on the rope. He's absolutely great in the second half of game five and in game four. He's one win away with two shots at it from his first finals. And he's not playing if he possibly can't. Like, I'm sorry. It's hard to play basketball on one hamstring. You can't do it. Especially, he's going to go guard Steph Curry with one hammy? Are you kidding
me? That injury may have changed basketball history. We could be talking about that for 15 years. You have a better chance of playing on a broken ankle or a broken foot than you do of playing with a hamstring injury. Because you could in theory, shoot your foot up with numbing agent and drag your foot up. I mean, you'd be no good.
Well, right. Kevin McHale did it. Kevin McHale did it in the 1987 finals. Played with a broken foot. And by the way, it's why he walks the way he walks now, like Herman Munster.
And doesn't
the space in his foot kept getting bigger and bigger, and they told him, and he played anyway.
You said he doesn't regret it, right? He would have done it again?
No, he'd do it again. Yep, that's just the mentality of these guys. And like Iguodala, like you don't think Iguodala, they rested him all year for this exact moment. Do you think he doesn't feel like playing? What are people talking about here?
Oh, there's just like Iguodala's not playing in the finals either. I mean, in game one. And
right.
No, Chris Paul's injury was significant. If it was a regular...
If the Rockets made the finals, Chris Paul wasn't going to play for the first two games.
Right,
I mean, like, that would have been one of the major storylines of the finals is can CP3 – not when will he come back, can CP3 come back?
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing about this, because let's say the Rockets, instead of going 0-27, let's say they go 5-27, which would have been terrible for them. But let's just say they go 5-27 and they hold the lead and they win it. The Cavs' outlook on the finals with no Chris Paul is completely different.
Out at least the first two games.
Yeah, now the Cavs are thinking, you know, we're going to be able to take game one because those guys are gassed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything's different.
Well, and by the way, forget the 27. They were 7-44, which is historically horrible. If they were just really bad, if they shot 25% from three, which is terrible, 11-44, they win.
Right. Well, that's what the Cavs shot in Boston and won, because the Celtics were so much worse.
The Cavs?
I thought the Mendoza line for the Cavs, Brian, was they could not shoot below 32% in Boston if they wanted to win that game. And they shot 25%, and they won anyway.
I still agree with you.
I just can't believe what we saw, but whatever.
Yes. You know, that game, Jackie, had so – we didn't get to talk about it afterwards, but
no. –
and,
yeah,
you know, it's moot now. But that game reminded me so much of the 2016 Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me so much of it. Slow, no speed. But, all right, sounds like we're moving past McMahon's time. So.
Oh, yes, my bad. I thought I had it on mute. Yeah, I'm grabbing my little one, and we're going to her big sister's – volleyball practice.
All right. Well, you've earned some time off. Jackie, thank you very much.
Enjoy,
thank you very much.
Oh, just quickly.
Appreciate it.
Just quickly, can I give you this? Jimmy mm-hmm. Shapiro, as you guys know, Zucker Media Group says the odds of Brian Colangelo being the 76er basketball of operations for 2018-19. Yes, plus 200, 2-1 odds. No, negative 300, 1-3 odds. Just give me the update. Because I want everybody to be up to date.
Thank you, Jackie. Good job.
My pleasure. All right, guys. Have a great night.
All right.
Thanks.
See you later.
This has been
Enjoy the finals,
NBA Finals Preview.
Thank you for listening to Woo-hoo! The NBA Finals Preview. Thank you so much for listening.
Adios, amigos. To your baggage claim, Wendy. See ya.